Welcome to the Football Podcast. This is your host, Mr. Number 9.
And this is The Fool.
Hi, everyone. Look, we are being consistent and doing updates. It must be World Cup season or something like that.
Must be. I mean, sure, we're not quite as good as we were last World Cup with weekly updates, but, you know, better than normal.
True. Well, technically, we had an update last week, didn't we?
Yeah, technically weekly updates, as long as this takes less than a week to update.
Sure. Anyways, we've had an amazing tournament so far. So many ups and downs. Like, the final round of matches, like, were just all couldn't be missed, pretty much almost all the games. So many games had to be played concurrently because everything was up in the air. Anyways, I've thoroughly enjoyed the last couple of weeks. How about yourself?
Oh, yeah, no, it's been great. I've really enjoyed it. And it's been good. Like, at work, there's a couple of people that are following it as well. So, and even people that aren't into football really have been like, oh yeah, blah blah blah, did you see the game last night or whatever happened?
Yeah,
like Germany losing to Mexico first round, that was a big talking point.
It's this every 4 years, people who don't watch a single football game, don't keep up with anything about football, but then after watching their first game, they'll be like, that Tunisian wing back didn't quite track back well enough and needed to do a bit more show a bit more threat on the attack, and you're just like, what?
Yeah.
First of all, Tunisia play four at the back. They don't have a wing back, and none of that makes sense. But, you know, it's all part and parcel of enjoying the world's tournament, right?
Yeah, exactly. And one of these things, you say, it brings out the armchair critic in everybody, even the, you know, got people in the office who are like, I never watched World Cup, but you say, but, I mean, Germany, they really didn't put the pressure on there, and they really needed to go further, you know, push more, be more adventurous, and have this big in-depth commentary about whether they were playing well or not.
Yeah, but what was your favourite moment of the tournament?
So far, personally, it would be Rojas' goal for Argentina against Nigeria. Because, you know,
of course.
Argentina finally got somewhere. I really enjoyed the Mexico-Germany game.
I feel like that was a great game because Mexico didn't beat Germany by, like, you know, kind of getting a goal and defending or getting lucky or anything like that. They outplayed Germany. Like, they attacked better, they defended better, their midfield, like, absolutely bossed Germany's midfield. And, Germany were lucky to only lose 1-0 in that game.
Yeah, I mean, and they were, Mexico had the tactics down pat. They were well organized at the back. They were playing well together, and then they had the speed. So, you know, when they turned the ball over, Germany was moving forward, turned the ball over, they were instantly on attack. Mexico down the flanks, running in behind the Germans, and the Germans just were struggling to get back to defend it. And, I mean, it was a bit lucky, really, that it was only the one, really. I mean, they were looking at stays, scoring lots more than that. But, I mean, they did it, and they didn't.
True.
You say that Mexico were in control. You know, the Germans, even at that stage, you're like, oh, that was, you know, that was a poor German performance, but they'll turn it around. But then I watched the Sweden-Germany game, and whilst Germany won that in the end, even then I'm like, Germany, you've got troubles here. I mean, really.
Yeah. Absolutely. And the Sweden-Germany game, it was a very German win, right? Like, we sat there going, oh, are they going to break the trend? But no, Germany follow the trend of every team this millennium that has won the World Cup that is from Europe do not go through to past the group stage so far. Now, my favorite game of the tournament was Spain's opener against Portugal. Absolutely amazing. That free kick goal from Cristiano Ronaldo was basically my highlight of that first round of games. It's probably equal favorite with my goal, with the goal that Shaqiri scored against Serbia, which I think was also a fantastic goal. Like, I decided, because the teams I support, Holland and the All Whites, obviously, are not in the World Cup. So I was going to go with Portugal. They have one of my favorite players in their team. And yeah, I really like Cristiano Ronaldo. And he, like, got me all pumped up. But I've slowly grown to like Switzerland. They were behind in every game they played and they came back. I do like a team with heart and, like, that ability to come back. That's something you enjoy watching in football. I think Shaqiri and that team is solid, and they have just enough flair. Like, Shaqiri is still very much a team player. He creates the opportunities for players around him, and still in fantastic form from his premiership. As we said in the previews, I kind of picked Switzerland to go through the second round of that group. They played well against Brazil, and they played very well against Serbia, and they just did enough against Costa Rica to get through in second place.
Exactly. They did what was needed to do there. Switzerland's been doing really well. I also enjoyed that Spain-Portugal match. There was some craziness in that. I liked the, you know, the Ronaldo versus Diego Costa show that was going on for a while there, where Ronaldo was awesome, and Diego Costa was like, I can do it too.
Pretty much.
It was quite good. But
It would be remiss of me not to mention that goal by Nacho as well, which was a fantastic, like an absolute thunderbolt from outside the box. And the only like downside for me in that game was David De Gea, who is probably my favorite player in the world at the moment, just having that mistake that with Ronaldo's second. But you know, that was Ronaldo's night, right?
Yeah. Well, that's night. It's your night, right?
Yeah. Now let's look at the review of the round of 16. You and I have talked off screen about this a lot. The draw has very, very much split into a hard section and an easy section. So let's go with the hard section first. Uruguay, Portugal, both teams have form. I think Portugal are probably a bit more dependent on one star man versus Uruguay.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people have been talking up Uruguay's defense, but Uruguay, I don't think, have really been tested. Their defense are old. No. They're good. They're experienced. But Portugal's attackers, Ronaldo aside, are young kids who run around the ball, and their game is to create as much space for Ronaldo as possible. Or if Ronaldo's creating space, they go and take their chances.
Yeah.
And that old fox, Ricardo Quaresma, the guy who was Ronaldo just for Ronaldo, is still in pretty good form these days, as he showed from that goal he scored their last game against Iran. So I think Portugal are not going to be easy for Uruguay to beat. I feel like Cristiano Ronaldo still has a bit of destiny on his side. So I see them going through against Uruguay. Maybe like an extra time winner from Cristiano.
Yeah, I also agree. I find it hard with Uruguay. They've got a good team. They're great, but they sort of have been in the easy group, so it's a bit hard to tell exactly where their form's at.
Yeah, basically, like, they beat two teams that Russia thrashed, and then they thrashed Russia. Yeah. So that showed that they weren't that great teams.
No. And, like, it's hard to tell because, like, this hard side of the draw is also sort of the out-of-form side of the draw. The only team sort of in form are at the top and bottom of the side, really.
Well, I think you could say Uruguay are in form. They haven't played badly. They won all three of their games, haven't conceded a goal, so that's pretty much all you can ask for it. You know, right. They can only play what's in front of them. So, and France, as well, are a pretty good form. I would agree with, until that last game against Serbia, I would have agreed with you that Brazil were an out-of-form team, but they cantered against Serbia. They were in second gear that whole game and basically bossed Serbia around. This was not the same Serbia that showed what it was made of.
This side is that, like, this, that last round was a little bit better for some teams than what they were the first couple of games. I was going to say, Uruguay and Portugal, too, I put in the, they actually have some form along with Belgium and maybe Japan.
Yeah.
They've been playing well. The middle four were the ones where it's a bit tentative.
Yeah. I mean, let's look at that next fixture. Like Argentina, France, playing at Sunday at 2 a.m. I know you love Argentina, but I don't think France have done anything wrong this World Cup. They've played exactly the right. Yeah. You know, that French team have always got a bit of issues, but that means it's something that they need something to struggle against beyond the game to make them play well. Every time they've played well at a World Cup, this is what happens.
Yeah. I mean, France have been playing well. I've watched their games. They play well. They seem to have struggled just to click the last little bit in gear. They looked good against Australia, but sort of struggled to put them away. Things like that. It was just same with Denmark was different at the last game because they were both sort of playing for the draw anyway.
Yeah, I don't count that last game. They played pretty well against Peru, and they pretty much did exactly what they needed to do to beat Australia, France, and they have the. I think the key factor here is they have talent down the bench. Like Argentina, Messi gets injured. I don't know who they're replacing him with. They didn't play. They've got Huguain and Aguero up front, but there's nobody in that is their magic player. But, you know, like France gets Mbappe injured. They just play someone like Musa or like Griezmann. Like they've just got talent up the wazoo in every position. Like there isn't.
Oh, yeah.
Anywhere where I look at that French team and go, if this guy got injured, they're screwed. It just doesn't exist.
I know. I feel with Argentina, like, they've got Di Maria and others that should be able to fill in if Messi was out. I mean, it's hard to replace Messi because he's, I'm going to call him the best player in the world. You can disagree.
We can agree to disagree, but even if I were to disagree that Messi is the best player in the world, and I don't necessarily disagree, Angel Di Maria is a very good player. He's no Messi.
No, so I mean, it's... they've got good players there. It's not messy, which doesn't help. And then those good players, for whatever reason, in this World Cup, and generally in World Cups, Di Maria wasn't outstanding last World Cup either, just don't seem to have stepped it up in quite the same way. And it's sort of, you watch them and you're like, you should be doing better than what you are. So it's a bit hard sometimes. It's been hard watching them this so far. Maybe they'll step it up, I don't know. But it's going to be a hard watch.
I mean, it's a hard road for Argentina after this World Cup, as everybody says. Like, this generation of players, you could argue they are a golden generation. They won the Under-20 World Cup with Aguero, Messi, and that their team. This is their last roll of the dice here. And there's not much coming down the pipeline for Argentine football. Unlike their neighbors to the north, who have an embarrassment of riches now, they're kind of struggling. And, like, every country goes through that. Like, you can't have a great generation continuously. So it'll be interesting to see how Argentina deal with France. That's a game definitely not going to miss if I can read, if I can stay up.
Well, I think I'll get up for that one. But yeah, I don't really want to miss it. That was my pick for the final, so that's now a second round match. So
sure.
It'll be interesting to see how it all goes.
So after them, we have the clash of Latin America, Brazil and Mexico at 2 a.m. I think Mexico started on fire. I feel like their coach played completely the wrong tactics. And he mentioned it later, like he played a back four instead of a back three. And Sweden just destroyed them playing aerially and using their technique. Basically, Mexico just couldn't handle it. I think Brazil's attack are much better than Sweden's. And they're actually better at doing this aerial technique and using tall strikes. Gabriel Jesus will create space and get balls in and do that all day. If Mexico don't sort their stuff out at the back, Brazil are going to eat them alive, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Brazil are not a tired old German team that they faced in the first round and pretty much going to be geared up and wanting to go hard at them. And they want to make a statement before the quarterfinals against either Japan or Belgium. So I'm picking Brazil for that game, as I'm picking France for the game before. Obviously, you're picking Argentina there.
Yeah, I'd pick Brazil for this one too. I just feel like Brazil, like the first game, Brazil looked a bit rusty, but as the tournament's gone on, they've got better and better.
True. They've not lost while playing badly and gotten better as the tournament's gone on. So I agree with you there. Like I would be ominous. And they've also got the harder side of the group, so they'll be more confident going into the final, in theory. Like, to get to the finals, they'll have to beat either probably France or Portugal or Argentina or Uruguay. There's nothing easy in the semi-final. And in the quarters, they're probably facing Belgium. So there's, it's a tough road.
That's a tough road. Like, they're all tough roads on... Well, they're all tough roads anyway. This side, very tough road. I think Brazil as well. And you're right, they're going to get better and better. And so the further they get, the more likely I think they're going to go all the way. You know, there's nothing, they're one of the scariest teams on this side as well. It's not like they're going to be overwhelmed or anything. And they're starting to look like they're getting their confidence back. They did sort of say the very first game, they definitely looked a bit startled and didn't know how to get it all together. And Neymar looked like he was trying to do a Ronaldo impersonation.
Yeah,
but it seems to have settled into being Neymar again.
I think he's settled into being he's happy to be the support player. He's actually just sitting back, passing the ball nicely to Coutinho. Coutinho is the attacking talisman so far this tournament for Brazil. Yeah. And I think Neymar, it's actually suiting him. He's getting a bit more time to get over his injury. And his game against Serbia, he wasn't the best player on the pitch, but he was by no means had a bad performance. He was part of that machinery that made Brazil so good. And that's ominous because arguably their best player is playing on second gear and orchestrating the team really well. And then if Brazil go behind or need to really go, he can just push it up to first gear. That's the sort of player he is.
Yeah, exactly. As long as he doesn't get too desperate about it, I guess, or too, I can't think of the right word, but too focused on, I must win the game for everybody. It settles into I need to, to actually step up a gear, and that requires being open and pushing around and knowing when to run and pass and all the rest.
He basically needs to do what Shaqiri's been doing for Switzerland, which is what he did in that game against Serbia.
Exactly. So, Brazil's looking better, Neymar's looking better. All of them really are looking better.
Their whole team are looking better. Like, Gabriel Jesus has had a great tournament, I think. Just even if he's not been on the score sheet, that he's just creating that threat, just letting the players around him find spaces to score from.
Yeah, and so it looks, So it's going to look like Mexico is going to go out in the second round again. Round of 16.
Unfortunately. I agree with you.